I didn't understand at first why everything felt harder around her. Meetings moved without me. Decisions landed already made. Doors that used to open stayed shut. On paper, she wasn't senior to me. Her title didn't suggest authority, but the office didn't run on paper. It ran on access. She decided who got 5 minutes with him and who waited weeks. She decided which emails got answered quickly and which ones aged into irrelevance. She decided whose calendar conflicts were real and whose were inconvenient. I watched my job shrink in ways I couldn't point to on a spreadsheet. Nothing overt, nothing you could complain about without sounding paranoid. Just small exclusions that stacked until my work felt like an afterthought. By the time I realized she didn't like me, it was already too late. She wasn't trying to get rid of me. She was just quietly making me disappear. When I joined the company, I thought I was walking into stability. It was a mid-sized professional services firm with a reputation for being serious but humane. The kind of place that talked about work-life balance without laughing afterward. I came in as a senior specialist, not management, but close enough that my work mattered. I reported directly to the director of our department, a white English man who had been there long enough to be considered part of the furniture. He was competent, measured, and allergic to confrontation. He liked order, predictability, and people who made his days easier. She had already been there 3 years when I arrived. The assistant. That's how everyone referred to her, as if the word itself explained everything. She managed his calendar, his travel, his meetings, his inbox triage. She knew when he was in a good mood and when he wasn't to be disturbed. She knew which clients he dreaded and which ones he enjoyed. She knew when to interrupt him and when not to. She sat just outside his office, physically and symbolically, and everyone passed through her, whether they admitted it or not. At first, I thought she was efficient, impressive even. She remembered details no one else did. She anticipated needs before they were voiced. She protected his time fiercely, which he appreciated. I watched him defer to her in small ways, asking if he had space in his schedule instead of checking himself, asking her opinion on whether something was urgent, letting her decide how long meetings should run. None of it felt wrong in isolation. My first few weeks were smooth. She booked my onboarding meetings promptly. She was polite, clipped but professional. We exchanged the standard pleasantries without warmth or hostility. I didn't feel singled out. I didn't feel welcomed either. I told myself that was fine. Not everyone needed to like me. The first shift was subtle. I requested a meeting with him to discuss a project that cut across departments, something time-sensitive. I sent the email, copied her as protocol demanded. The response came 2 days later. She told me his schedule was extremely tight and suggested we revisit the conversation in a few weeks. A few weeks was too late, but I assumed that was just the reality of senior leadership. I adjusted. Then I saw him in the corridor later that day, unhurried, chatting about weekend plans with someone else. I mentioned I had tried to book time with him. He looked surprised, said he hadn't seen anything. I felt a flicker of discomfort but brushed it off. Messages get missed. Calendars get messy. The next time it happened again, and then again. Each time I told myself there was an explanation. Each time the explanation felt thinner. What unsettled me wasn't just the delays. It was the way information started to flow around me instead of through me. Meetings related to my projects happened without my knowledge. Decisions were referenced that I hadn't been consulted on. I would hear about changes after they'd already been agreed to, framed as fait accompli. When I asked how things had been decided, the answer was always vague. We talked about it briefly. It came up in another meeting. It was aligned offline. Offline was where she lived. I started noticing how others interacted with her. People were careful, overly polite. They asked permission for things they technically didn't need permission for. They checked with her before approaching him, even when they outranked her. When she was out sick, the office felt oddly unmoored. He was distracted. Meetings ran long. People waited awkwardly outside his door. No one said it out loud, but everyone felt it. She wasn't support. She was infrastructure. The first time I sensed real hostility was over something trivial. A recurring meeting that had been running for months suddenly disappeared from my calendar. No explanation. I assumed it had been canceled and adjusted my plans. Later that week, someone referenced a discussion from that meeting. I realized it hadn't been canceled, I just hadn't been invited. When I asked her about it, she smiled in a way that didn't reach her eyes, told me there must have been a mix-up, said she'd fix it going forward. Her tone was light, reasonable, impossible to challenge without sounding accusatory. But it kept happening. Each incident on its own was nothing. Together, they formed a pattern I couldn't ignore. I felt like I was constantly one step behind, reacting instead of shaping. I was still doing my job, but I wasn't being seen doing it. My influence was narrowing, my visibility shrinking. I hadn't done anything to her, at least nothing I could identify. I replayed our interactions in my head, searching for a moment I'd offended her or stepped on her territory. The only thing I could think of was that I didn't defer to her the way others did. I treated her as a colleague, not a gatekeeper. I went directly to him when we crossed paths, instead of routing everything through her. I assumed my role entitled me to that access. It didn't. I started to understand that her power wasn't official, which made it harder to confront. There was no policy against what she was doing, no rule she was breaking. She wasn't yelling, insulting, or openly obstructive. She was simply deciding, quietly and consistently, that I wasn't a priority. And in an office like that, priorities were everything. Once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. The small exclusions became sharper. My email sat unanswered while others got rapid responses. Requests that should have been routine were treated as burdensome. I was asked to justify my need for access in ways no one else seemed to be asked to. I tried adapting. I started copying more people on emails, hoping visibility would protect me. I scheduled meetings weeks in advance, anticipating resistance. I softened my language, added context, tried to sound less demanding. None of it worked. If anything, it seemed to irritate her more. The worst part was how deniable it all was. If I complained, what would I say? The assistant doesn't like me. The assistant won't book my meetings. The assistant controls the flow of information. It sounded petty. It sounded paranoid. It sounded like I didn't understand how offices worked. I considered going directly to him, but every time I thought about it, I imagined how it would play out. He would look uncomfortable. He would say he was sure it was a misunderstanding. He would suggest we all communicate better. He would not challenge her, because challenging her meant destabilizing his own system. And he valued comfort over clarity. I tested the waters once, carefully. I mentioned in passing that I felt out of the loop on a project. He frowned, said he'd assumed I was involved, said we should fix that. Nothing changed. Meanwhile, she grew bolder. She started speaking for him in meetings when he wasn't there, framing decisions as already approved, shutting down suggestions by saying they wouldn't align with his priorities. People listened. No one questioned her authority. It was easier to comply than to verify. I watched colleagues adjust their behavior around her, aligning themselves subtly, complimenting her efficiency, asking for her opinion, including her in conversations she technically didn't need to be part of. They understood something I had been slow to accept. She was a proxy for power. And proxies are often more dangerous than the thing itself. My work began to suffer, not in quality, but in impact. Projects stalled because approvals took too long. Opportunities passed because I wasn't looped in early enough. I was blamed, gently, for delays that weren't entirely mine. My confidence took hits I couldn't explain to anyone else. I started documenting things privately. Dates, missed meetings, emails unanswered. Not because I planned to escalate, but because I needed to reassure myself that it wasn't all in my head, that something real was happening. What hurt most was the isolation. No one wanted to be the person who acknowledged her influence openly. Doing so felt risky. If she controlled access, why antagonize her? People sympathized in private but stayed neutral in public. They told me to be patient, to find a way to work with her, to not take it personally. It was personal. She made it personal by making it targeted. There was a moment that clarified everything. A major client issue erupted, one that fell squarely in my area of responsibility. I had insights that could have mitigated the fallout. I needed time with him immediately. I emailed her, marked it urgent, no response. I followed up, still nothing. I found him in his office later that afternoon, clearly stressed. He asked why he hadn't been briefed earlier. I told him I'd tried. I watched understanding flicker across his face, then fade. He said we'd talk later. We never did. After that, the tone shifted. He became cooler with me, more distant. He trusted the information he was receiving, and that information was filtered. I realized then that this wasn't just about access. It was about narrative. She wasn't just controlling his time. She was shaping his perception. I had a choice: fight a battle I couldn't win, or start planning an exit. Staying meant constant erosion. Leaving meant admitting defeat. Neither option felt good. I tried one last time to assert myself. I requested a formal meeting, copied HR, framed it as a process issue rather than a personal one. The response was swift. She booked the meeting weeks out. By then, the urgency had evaporated. The message was clear. He never asked why I was leaving when I eventually gave notice. He said he was sorry to lose me. Said I'd done good work. Said maybe our paths would cross again. She wished me well, politely, efficiently, as if she were closing a file. I walked out with my dignity intact and my confidence bruised. It took longer than I expected to recover from that job. Not because I missed it, but because it had altered how I saw power. I had always believed that titles mattered, that hierarchies were visible, that influence followed clear lines. What I learned instead was that the most consequential figures are often the least scrutinized. In my next role, I paid attention to assistants. Not with suspicion, but with awareness. I watched how leaders deferred. I watched who controlled information. I watched who decided what was urgent and what could wait. I understood that proximity is its own kind of authority. I also noticed how gender played into it. She and I were both white English women, ostensibly on the same side of the professional equation. But proximity to male authority had given her leverage I didn't have, and she used it to protect her position, even if that meant undermining someone else's. I don't think she woke up one day and decided to ruin my career. I think she saw me as a threat, not because I challenged her directly, but because my role didn't require her. I represented a path of influence that bypassed her control, and in systems built on gatekeeping, bypass is unforgivable. The residue of that experience stayed with me. I became more cautious, more strategic, less trusting of surface-level professionalism. I learned to map power before assuming it was fair. I learned that silence isn't neutrality. It's often compliance. Sometimes I wonder what would have happened if I'd pushed harder, if I'd named it explicitly, if I'd forced a confrontation. But I also know how those stories usually end. The system closes ranks. The gatekeeper is protected. The complainer is labeled difficult. What stays with me most isn't anger. It's clarity. Titles didn't matter. Access did. And access was hers to grant or deny. She ran the office. Everyone else just worked there.